All right, go ahead and open up your booklets. Before we jump into the first breakout session, I want to just explain a little bit about the book. So first, if you open up to the back, page 30, that's Appendix A. Appendix A. So you've got sessions, your breakout sessions in the book, and then you have, at the end of the book, a few appendices, which is just extra material that we included for you guys to use as a resource. The first appendix, Appendix A, is a passage list from Proverbs about receiving and giving instruction. Receiving and giving instruction. So all of the verses in that first section for the first few pages have to do with how do I receive instruction biblically? And all of those verses are from the book of Proverbs. On page 41, you have a few non-examples, a couple non-examples, people or instances in Proverbs where people don't receive instruction. And then starting on page 43, you have a section on giving correction. How do I give correction biblically? And so hopefully as you guys are after this weekend, if you're faced with a situation where you need to receive instruction better or you need to help someone else do that, then you have a resource of just a list of verses from Scripture where you can go back to and say, how do I do this well? What does Scripture say? Okay. On page 47 is Appendix B. This is a few pages from a book by a man named J.C. Ryle. He was the first bishop. He kind of oversaw churches in a local area in Liverpool. And he was a prolific writer. These few pages, recently I read Thoughts for Young Men. There's a book written to young men, and he just gives counsel to young men. This is also helpful for you ladies. You guys will be able to learn as well from what he instructs young men on. But this is a section about pride. And in this section, he talks a lot about young people receiving correction. And so I thought it was very fitting to just include that whole section in this book. If you finish your quiet time early tomorrow, then consider reading that. It's only a few pages long, but it's very helpful. Okay. And then Appendix C is just a list of sermons. And then that book that you can go back and listen to on your own. There's sermons from our church that Scott, Smed, and Josh have preached on receiving correction. All of those fit into that category. The first three are sermons about church restoration or church discipline, a sermon Josh preached from Romans 15:14, and then there's two other sermons by John Anderson, the uncle of the Yates kids, that he preached recently about receiving instruction from one another within the church. And then there's links for the book that I just mentioned from J.C. Ryle. So those are your resources, okay? These books are helpful for this weekend, but we intend them to be useful to you far after winter camp, okay? Even into adulthood. I've actually gone back and used these multiple times for myself, for counseling situations that I've been in. The one I've gone back to most has been the one that we did in 2015, I think. It was summer camp on Shepherding Your Heart with God's Word. So I still use these books. All right. Let's go back to the first breakout session on page 6 is where the content starts. In just a minute, we're going to break up into your groups, and you are going to discuss with your leaders these principles. So we have two breakout sessions. The first one has to do with preparing you to receive instruction. Just preparation. You haven't been instructed or corrected, admonished, rebuked, exhorted by anybody yet. As we're viewing it, this is just, that's going to happen eventually. So how do I prepare my heart and my life to be ready for those moments? When I get back home, my parents are at some point going to instruct or correct me on something. I know it's coming. What do I need to be doing today and in the moments leading up with my life, in life, with my heart? How do I need to be thinking? What do I need to be, you know, changing about my attitude in order to prepare to receive instruction? That's what we're going to be discussing now. And what we have here on the next couple pages is 10 practices that will prepare you to receive instruction. There are 10 practices that are going to prepare you before those moments come, things that you can be doing in preparation to receive instruction. Okay? And your leaders are going to take you through this material. You've got verses, as we always do, and you have blanks to fill in. You probably won't, every group won't get through all of them. Okay? And that's all right. We'll come back and we'll discuss these things together. So if you have questions, ask your leader. They might tell you to wait and ask them when we all regroup. Sincerely love discipline is number 6. Number 7, kill pride continually. Kill pride continually. Number 8, know wisdom thoroughly. Know wisdom thoroughly. Number 9, refuse sinful isolation. Refuse sinful isolation. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. Okay? So if you practice not isolating yourself in a sinful way, don't remove yourself from like things you don't want to hear. Don't run from people you don't want who are going to speak into your life in good ways. If you just practice that ahead of time, then when it comes, you'll already be in a position to hear them. Right? You won't be isolated from them. That's what that's about. And then number 10, defer. Defer, D-E-F-E-R, defer to others. And you have the very next verse in that same proverb. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That has to do with just practicing yielding to others. Listen to others and don't be the one in the driver's seat all the time. That could come down to a decision like something your parents want you to do, a school you're going to go to, or a sports team you're going to play. If they say, we'd rather you play on this team, but we're going to leave it up to you, right? If it's not sin to pick either team, then just practice yielding to someone else's desires for you, right? Your parents' desires for you. And then when correction comes, you'll already be used to, I'll do what you want me to do for my life instead of holding on to my own preferences, okay? So that's good preparation as well. So defer to others. All right. Those are the 10 principles. Probably something like a fire hose. If, 30 minutes wasn't very much to get through that. For a few minutes, I just want to focus in on one principle. After I ask if there are any questions. Are there any questions that came up, any of these principles that you are curious about, would like further explanation on? Amy? Oh, we're about to talk about that one, so I'm about to answer all your questions. What were you confused about specifically?
Why would you like being disciplined?
Okay. Excellent question. I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to answer that, so we're going to come back to that. I'll answer yours last. Yes, Suzanne. Yes, convictions. Great question. The question is, what exactly are convictions? What does that mean to form convictions early? Convictions are things that you have settled in your own heart and mind as to what you believe is true, and therefore how you will live because what you believe is true. They're beliefs. Okay, things that you hold dear, you're not going to waver on these things. Okay, that's what a conviction is. So an example of a conviction would be, I am going to obey my parents. If you settle that in your heart as a base principle for your life, then it doesn't matter what they tell you to do, right? Unless it's sin, which your parents aren't telling you to sin. I know that because I know them, okay? If you just settle that in your mind, that you're going to listen at your parents, then it doesn't matter what someone else tells you to do. If it's in contradiction to your parents, by conviction, I can't listen at you. Because my conviction is I listen to my parents. Okay, so that's a conviction. And the verses that you have, at least the one in Proverbs 4, David taught Solomon not to only obey him, but to actually take these things upon himself and make them your own convictions. Decide for yourself, young, tender son, right? I get the idea. He probably wasn't this young, but a kid in diapers, like, value wisdom. Listen, do not let her go. And he's like, you know, yes, that young even. Decide for yourself that you are going to determine what is true from God's word and believe it and live by it. Those are what we mean when we say convictions. And last thing I'll say about that, I heard recently a pastor say to a group of young people, he said, young people, the convictions you don't build now will be the ones you don't have when you need them. The convictions you don't bother building now will be the ones you need and don't have them when you need them. So it's crucial for you guys to decide for yourself, independent of your parents. If you're kidnapped tonight from camp, God forbid, if you're kidnapped like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, and brought to a strange place, would you actually have convictions formed already like they did to not worship the king, to obey God's commandments, right? When you're not with your parents anymore. That's really important. Okay? Yes, Isaiah.
On number 7, I think it's 2 Timothy instead of 1 Timothy.
Did I do that again? I'm like every year, every camp. First Timothy 3 instead of 2. What does 2 Timothy 3 say? Oh, snap. How did that happen? All right. 2 Timothy. So I was partially right. Yeah. 2 Timothy. I should say 2 Timothy 3, not 1 Timothy 3. This is always fun to just find out what I did put. The saying is trustworthy if anyone aspires to the office of overseer. He desires a noble task. All right? Amen. Not exactly what we're thinking about. I received that correction. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, let me answer Emmy's question about why would you love discipline? Go to Proverbs 3. I don't think we included this in love discipline, but you can write this down next to number 6, okay? This is the reference. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. Discipline does reveal that you have, if you're being corrected, obviously you're in the wrong, right? If it's wise, biblical correction coming to you, then yes, you were in the wrong. So the instruction here is not to love the fact that you were wrong. That's not, don't love that you sinned. But it's to love the discipline that comes as a result. Does that make sense? Does the difference make sense? Discipline implies you were wrong, but you're told to love the discipline, not the sin that brought the discipline about. Does that make sense? We discussed this with the high school guys. Here's why you should love discipline in a nutshell. You should love discipline because what you believe about discipline, whether you love it or not, reveals what you believe about God. Say that again. How you respond to discipline, or what you think about discipline, whether you love it or not, reveals at its core what you believe about God. And here's where we see this principle at work. Proverbs 3:11. I'll read these verses. My son, this is Solomon talking to his son. Do not despise the Lord, Yahweh's discipline. Do not despise his discipline or be weary of his reproof. Then he gives the reason. For, because Yahweh reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Why should I love discipline? Ultimately, because it's a sign of God's love for me. Verse 11 says, my son, he's addressing his son, and he says, don't despise the Lord's discipline. In the lives of children, what's the primary means by which God brings discipline into the life of a child? I know you know. Parents. And this beautiful thing, tool, called a rod. It's wonderful. It creates this connection between the heart and backside that's unbelievable. It's amazing. Truly. It drives foolishness. It's so effective. It drives foolishness out of the heart of a child. Stops you from doing dumb stuff that might get you killed, right? By hitting you on your backside. And Solomon is telling his son, don't despise that. God's the one that has told parents how to discipline children. And God is the one that administers disciplines in its various ways in life. Sometimes that comes by words. For children, primarily, the way we consistently see that is through the rod, especially in Proverbs. But he's saying, don't hate it, don't despise it, and don't get tired of that. Because it's a sign of God's love for you, child. Verse 12 says, the Lord reproves him whom he loves. Have you ever considered before that lots of families in the world, God decides ultimately who belongs to which family? Noah, you could have been born in the Philobes family. You're not in that family, right? And none of us are in any other families except the ones that we were born in. Who decided that? God. And so if your parents are training you with discipline, then it is a sign that God actually loves you. Because he could have put you in a family that doesn't discipline you, where you don't have any regard for authority. I realized that when before we started disciplining our kids. Chloe's my oldest. And there was a time where I realized, wow, God could have put her in any family, yet he put her in ours. And the plan is to faithfully preach the gospel to her, to teach her God's word, to discipline her and teach her how to submit to authority. Every family doesn't do those things, right? And we don't do it perfectly, for sure. But God loves my kid, not maybe in a salvific way. I hope that's the case. Maybe he saves my daughter. But even if he chooses not to, she will actually learn, and she is learning, how to submit to authority through the discipline that's administered in our home. And that's the kindness of God to her. And we, you know, maybe you looked at this already, but chapter 12, verse 1 in Proverbs says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. If you love discipline, then you love wisdom, the wisdom that comes from being disciplined. You love having foolishness removed from your heart. Whoever doesn't love discipline, whoever despises or hates reproof, is stupid. That's strong language. But it's true, it's foolish to not love discipline. So does that make sense? You can't fake that as a kid. You can't, like, genuinely love discipline, which is why sincerely love discipline is there for number 6. Be, like, sincere, right? Don't fake it. Sincerely, actually love in your heart discipline, so that when it's administered at home, whether it's in word or with the rod, a lot of you guys probably aren't still getting a rod. Love it. Be thankful to your parents. And if you haven't thanked your parents for disciplining you ever or recently, then when you get back home, when you step off the bus, thank them. Thank you for loving me by disciplining me when I've needed it. And do it not because your parents have done it perfectly, not because they were so great at it, maybe, but do it because that has been God's kindness to you, right? God has loved you, and thank the Lord that he put you in families that do that. Any other questions about that? Okay. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to hear any more about that. We're done.